Welcome back, everybody, to Daf Yomi. Today we are up to Daf Mem Dalet. We are finishing Perek HaMafkin and starting Perek HaZov. So we are going to be starting from the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis to close out the third Perek of Maseches Bava Metzia. Says the Mishnah, Choshev L'shlalach Yad Pepikadum. So let's say someone thinks that they want to go and be Mishdusha Shlichas Yad. Remember, we've spoken about that this is using the other person's asset inappropriately. So I'm watching something for Binyamin and I'm using it in a way that I'm not supposed to. So that's Shlichus Yad. So let's say I'm thinking to go and do this. Now, what does this mean? Just thinking is enough. Look at Rashi over here for a second. Rashi says, Amar bifnei edim eto pikdono shalponi la'atzmi. So I say in front of edim that I'm planning on going and taking this person's thing and keeping it for myself. So it's where I said it in front of edim. Just machshav is not enough. Now, this is interesting because Rashi in Kedushin on Daf Mem Aleph, Amud Beis, of course, because Rashi in Kedushin on Daf Mem Aleph over there says that no, even just thinking is going to change it. Even just thinking is going to be enough. This is because we're going to see Shlichus Yad is one of the things, one of the exceptions to the rule of Ein Shliach Lidvar Avera. Normally, we know that if I send Saul to go do something bad for me and he does it, so Saul is the one who's going to be chayav because Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishomin, right? Who's he supposed to listen to? If I tell Saul to do something and Hashem tells him to do something, of course he's supposed to listen to Hashem and not to me. So I'm not going to be held accountable for that. But there are a few exceptions to that. Well, two exceptions to that, maybe three. And one of them is Shlichus Yad. The other one we're going to see is Me'ila. And maybe Dal Vehe. But this is the first line of our mission. So someone who is Choshev L'Shlolach Yad B'Pikadon. Someone who is just thinking or saying that they are going to do something, du shlichus yad, b'shamay omrim chayev. B'shamay says, just by thinking slash saying it, right away you are going to be chayev. And that means that if any ones happens to it, even something that is beyond your control, you are now going to be chayev. B'shamay omrim eno chayev at shishloch boyad. No, you're not going to be chayev until you actually did something, then you're going to be chayev. Shenemar, how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, imlo shalach yadobim leches reyehu. That's how we know, because the pasuk says, Yado, that you actually had to do something. Next case in the Mishnah. So let's say you tilted over a barrel and you took a revius of the wine that you weren't supposed to, meaning Binyamin gave me this big barrel of wine. I tilted it over and took a revius of it, and then Vinishbara, and then it broke in an ones type of way, something that's beyond my control. I only need to pay him back a revius. Next case, let's say I lifted up the entire barrel and poured out a revius, vinishbara, and then it broke in an ones type. Boy, mishalim demekula, then I have to pay him back the entire thing. Why? Because I've now made a kinyan on the entire thing. By just tilting it, I have not made a full-fledged kinyan on it. But once I'm magbia, once I lift it up in the air, now I've been kona the entire thing, and that means that I am now fully chayev for any type of ones that happens. That is the last Mishnah in Perek HaMafkin. Let's go to the Gemara. So we had a machlokas again. Just thinking slash saying, is that going to be enough in order to make you chayev for Shlichus Yad? Says the Gemara, Minan Emili. So how do I know that this would be the case? Ditan Rabbanim, because the pasuk says, I'll call Dvar Pesha, Beishamay Omrim Milamiche, Chayev Al HaMachshava Kemaise. So I'll call Dvar, meaning like Dibor. Oh, like Dibor. Right. Meaning any words that I say that indicate that I'm going to do Shlichus Yad makes me chayev. We're on the Gemara on top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Correct. Not thinking about correct. It. Exactly. So that's what we're saying. Machshava is similar to Dibor, right. And that's going to have the same status because you didn't actually do anything yet. You just said what you're going to do, i.e. look at the world. There's a lot of threats going on right now. Who knows what's actually going to be? So when people are just saying what they're going to do, so that's going to be enough in our situation because it says, I'll call Dvar Pesha, showing me that just Dibor is going to be enough. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, Eino chayev ad shiyishloch boyad. You're not actually going to be chayev until you actually do something. Shenemar im lo shalach yado bimleches reyehu. Your hand has to be involved, meaning you actually have to do an action of shlichus yad in order to be chayev. Amru lehem Beis Shammai leBeis Hillel v'alo kvar nemar al kol dvar pesha. So Beis Shammai says, yeah, but I have a good proof. It says dvar, it says words. That should be enough. That says that I don't actually need to do the actual shlichus yad, just thinking slash saying it should be enough. Amru lehem Beis Hillel v'alo Shammai, but they say, v'alo kvar nemar lo shalach yado bimleches reyehu. I also have a good pasuk because it says yado. We are about six or seven lines up from the top on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, trying to figure out this machlokas, whether just thinking about saying shlichus yad is enough in order to make you chayiv. Says Gemara, "Mkin matam lomar al kol dvar pesha." So what are we learning about with al kol dvar pesha? Shiachol ein li elahu, because you might think that only this person's going to be chayiv. Amar la'avdu shlucha minayin. So how do we know that if I go in and told Saul, if I told Binyamin to go be mishloach bo yad, to go use my object that I'm watching for Binyamin in a bad way, how do we know they're going to be chayiv? Tam and lomar, I'll call dvar pesha. This teaches me I'll call dvar pesha. And this again goes back to the whole sugya in Kiddushin in the beginning of the second parak by Mem Aleph, where we had the concept of ain shliach dvar avera.
Makes sense, because shlach gedol means limit to him.
Exactly, right? So, that's what you would think.
It's almost like you're making a klal and then you're doing a prat.
Similar, interesting.
With the yadot, and then it's a general. Because
Amar
Pesha should theoretically
be everything.
Should be able to
include Yadot. Right. You're probably right. Exactly. So now that's what we're saying. But remember, we had... Exactly. That's what we were just saying before, that we had Ein Shliach Dvar Avera, but there are a few exceptions. This is one of the exceptions that was brought in the Gemara in Kiddushin, right? When we were talking about all of the exceptions to Ein Shliach Dvar Avera, Shlichus Yad is something where I'm still going to be chayiv, even though I sent Saul to go do my dirty work. You're still going to be chayiv. The other one we said was Me'ila, and then we said there might be another one that's Dalud Vehei. If there are so many that say, if there are two things, two Shlichus Yad and Me'ila, that tell me that Yesh Shliach Dvar Avera, why is the halacha Ein Shliach Dvar Avera? What's the concept we saw a few times? There's a concept called Shnei Ksuvim Habayim Ke'echad in Melamdin, right? If you have one limud of something, then we can assume that that's what you want to teach for all time. That's the rule. But if we have two times where we're teaching something, no, those two are the exception, and then everything else is the rule. So that's the end of this Gemara right over here. But let's finish out this parakita. So remember, we said that if I have Binyamin's big barrel of wine and I tilt it and take a revias, I only need to pay him back a revias. So the only Rava says that this is only taught when it was actually broken afterwards. But if it becomes vinegar and it gets all spoiled and disgusting, then I'm going to be high for the entire thing. My time, why? Because Gere Didei Hu Dahanuwe. Because Rashi points out, it's like my arrow. My arrow is basically like it's damaging the entire thing. Gere, remember, this sounds familiar from Eish, right? From Eish, we're ripping the shirt, right? Exactly, very good. By Eisho Mishum Chitzav, Eisho Mishum Mamono, and also when you're shooting the arrow to go and rip someone's shirt. So what does this mean? What's your arrow actually doing over here? What it means is that when I go and pour out a revius of wine, so now the rest of the wine stays fresher when it's a full barrel. By letting some of the wine out, now it's more susceptible to becoming vinegar, and therefore I am directly damaging Binyamin's barrel of wine. So that's why it's going to be an issue. Next, Higbiya Vinatal Hemena. So let's say I said I lifted the entire thing and poured out a revius, and I'm going to be chai for the entire thing. Why? We said because I've done a kinyan, right? This is the bottom Rashi on Mem Gimel and Beis. It says Higbiya Vinatal Dahave Kanye Bahagbasa, because I went and did a full kinyan Hagba. V'chisaron Minatilas Revius Chayv Bonteh. And then there was a Chisaron involved because I poured out the revius. Remember, this is the machlokas we've had for this whole past week about shlichas yad tzricha chisaron or not tzricha chisaron. So says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel lo natal mamish. It doesn't mean that you actually took anything out of the barrel. Once you lifted it, that's going to be up. Ela kevan shegbia litol afal pishel natal. Once you lifted it to go and pour it out, even though you didn't actually pour it out, you're still going to be chayiv. Lema kasavar Shmuel shlichus yad ena tzricha chisaron. So does this seem to prove that Shmuel says that by shlichus yad, you don't actually have to cause some sort of physical loss? Just by starting the process, that's going to be enough, right? So if I lift Binyamin's barrel, even if I didn't pour anything out, we're saying you're going to be chayiv for shlichus yad. This seems to be a clear proof that shlichus yad doesn't actually need to have some sort of chisaron in order to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amrei lo. No, not necessarily. That's not a good proof. Why? Because shiny hacha dinechale detehave hachavis kula basis laha revius. No, because let's say I plan on taking a revius from Binyamin's barrel of wine. Where else am I going to store it? The best place for me to store it is in the barrel where it is already. So I'm lifting it up. I have full intent. It's not because, I'm such a good guy, I changed my mind. You know what? I don't want to steal from Binyamin. Right. The reason why I'm not taking it yet is because I'm going to wait till right before I need it because I want to keep it as fresh as possible inside the barrel. So it's not because of that. So that's why it's going to be different. So that's why it's shlichas yad, just by lifting it. By Rav Ashi, well, let's see. Is that really true by all cases? Let's say I lifted up a wallet to take out a coin from the wallet, but I didn't take out any coin from the wallet yet. Is that going to have the same halacha? So do we say chamra hu delo mintar el agav chamra? So do we say that the only reason why wine has this din is because I want to guard my wine with the rest of the wine? right? If I had a separate cup and I'm doing all this movement in my house and I have a separate cup of wine and then a barrel of wine, that's just annoying to try to keep track of something's going to happen. Aval zuza mintar, but maybe when it comes to money, I wouldn't think like that. O dilma shainin tirusa da'arniki min tirusa da'dinar. Or maybe we say that it's much easier to lose a single coin than it is to lose an entire wallet. Right, you want to have a whole stack of money because it's much easier to keep track of a bigger pile of something than to keep track of a single bill here and a single bill there. So take, we're not sure what we're going to do in that situation. This is Hadron Alach, HaMafkid. We should continue to finish Prakim Mirch Hashem as we go through our journey. And the Hishtadlus, the Mesiris Devish, to bring both books should be a Zechus. It should be a Zechus going forward. Oh, no. Oh, no, wait. You brought the whole shots. There you go. Wait, so do you have, oh, you do? Okay, this one you got to look inside for. Now, this is Perek HaZav. Now, we've been talking about, we started Shnayim Ochzin, we started about finding something in Metziah, then we spoke about Elu Metziahs, the different types of things, Hamafkid being a Shomer. Now, we're going to get into transactions when it comes to HaZav. So, there's a few things that we really need to know going into this Perek. It can make sense. We have to sit and try to figure it out. We have to sit. It takes time, but we have to do it clearly. We got to be fully focused for the beginning of this Perek. But we have to remember, whenever there's a Kinyan done, okay, whenever there's a Kinyan done, I see Baruch's cup of coffee right there, and I want his cup of coffee. So normally, I go and I give him a dollar, and he gives me the cup of coffee. When does the Kinyan take place? The Kinyan takes place, mi de oraisa, we're going to see a machlokas in the Gemara about this later, but mi de oraisa, the Kinyan takes place when I lift up the cup of coffee. That's when the Kinyan takes place. Meaning, once I lift up the cup of coffee, neither of us can retract anymore. Let's say I just gave him money, but I don't have the cup of coffee yet. We are allowed to retract. The actual effective Kinyan did not take place, and you are allowed to go back. Now, the Mishnah is going to say that's still not a good thing to do, to retract even after the money, because that's what's going to be called a Misha Para. That's a curse that's put on someone who retracts after that type of situation. We try to give someone their word and keep that word. But this is called the Misha Parah. Now, the question becomes, normally it's simple. I give Baruch the money, and he gives me the cup of coffee. That's a very normal transaction. But let's say you're making a transaction with silver and gold, or two different types of currencies. You're changing dollars to shekel. So now the question becomes, which one is the item, and which one is the currency? So we need to figure out which one makes the Kinyan fully effective, and which one doesn't. That's what we're trying to figure out on our daf today. That's the main topic of our daf. Now, the item is called the peyre, and the currency is called the tiva. Okay, so keep track of those words. Now, the question becomes, we're going to say, hazav, gold and silver, copper and silver. So which one is the item, and which one is the currency? That's what we're trying to figure out today.
I go into Gourmet Glad, there's 1,000 apples. I start picking up all the apples, and I want to see which one I want. Every time I pick up an apple, I'm not calling it. And I'm not going until I pay it, so I don't understand how this makes sense.
Oh, okay, very good. So we end up saying, what did you say?
Doesn't have dots to do to make Josh and make a Kenyan.
Once,
when I make a Kenyan, one of them,
once you pick it up with Das to make a Kenyan, you are now somewhat kona it to the point where when the transaction's actually happening, now the actual Kenyan takes effect once you lift it. Meaning, let's say you went to Gourmet Glad. Let's say you called.
That's true,
but let's say you called in an order, right? I think right now we're talking about this type of situation. You called in an order. You go to pick it up, right? You call in an order to, let's choose a restaurant. You call in an order to Stop, Chop, and Roll, right? Random restaurant, right? You guys owe me one, right? You guys owe me one. I gave a Tehillim Shir. I wasn't sure who listens to the Tehillim Shir. I gave it to Tehillim Shir, and I was like running out of time, and I was reading fast, and all of a sudden I get a text from a few Schreier brothers like, are you seriously going to read that out loud like that? You didn't get one word right. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, right. So let's say we get, very good. Let's say we get, you order something to go. So you go and you're now going to the store to get it, right? So you pay and you have to go pick it up now, right? So the full Kinyan does not happen until you lift the actual item that you are being kona. What you're saying in terms of shopping, that's going to be stuff that's going to be discussed in this parak. You're right. That's going to have to be discussed. But that's once there's a Das Kinyan, when you choose the specific apple to have, and you are there, now that you're lifting the apple, the Kinyan really takes effect. Now, when it comes to money, we're going to have to figure out how it works in the reverse. Right now, we're talking about the opposite case. We're talking about when there's an item and currency, we have to figure out which one is the item and which one is the currency in order to figure out when the full Kinyan takes effect. That's what we're trying to figure out here.
Doesn't it depend which side of the table you're on?
No, that's what we're saying. It's all about the item which is being picked up. Usually the seller is the one who's giving the item and the buyer is the one who's getting the item. So that's also what we're trying to figure out in essence. Who is the buyer and who is the seller in these types of situations, right?
Every transaction has to have item and cash.
Correct.
To determine which is the item and which is the cash.
Correct. That's what we're trying to figure out. And when you have gold and silver, shekels and dollars, that's cash and cash.
They want your currency.
So then when you have cash and cash... No, but seriously, when you have cash and cash, so then we're trying to figure out what is what. So let's see what we got over here. So it says the Mishnah, Hazav Kona Es HaKesef. So Zahav is Kona with money, meaning that the gold is going to be the object, and the Kesef, the silver, is going to be the cash. Now the question is going to become, what determines what's the cash and what's not? So we are initially going to have a Havamin and a Maskana in the Gemara. We're going to think that maybe it's based on Chashivus. We're going to think it's based on value. Whatever's more valuable is going to be considered the cash. We're ultimately going to say whatever's more liquid, whatever's more commonly used, that's what's going to be cash. So gold might be more valuable, but it's not what you're going to go into the store. If you go to Stop, Shop, and Rye, I guess they'll probably accept your gold. But if you go and take... If you go into a store and normally in a normal store and want to buy with gold, no one takes. That's just not how it works. You take money. It's less valuable, but it's more liquid, meaning it's something which is more commonly used. So over here, kesef is more commonly used. This is what the cash is going to be, and the zav is going to be the object. And a kesef eino kona es hazav. You can't go and make the kinyan with the kesef for the zav, meaning because the kesef, again, is the cash, and you can't have the kinyan on the cash and not on the object. So it's not going to work the other way. Ha nechoshes kona es hakesef. Now, nechoshes, copper, is going to be able to be kona with kesef, meaning that nechoshes is the object. That's going to work. Just like Zav is the object, just like gold is the object, Nechoshes is going to be the object over here. It's less valuable than Kesef, but it's more liquid. It's more commonly used than Zav, right? I'm sorry. No, but Kesef is more commonly used than it, right?
Would you think that
Nechoshes
was
Halacha's
common?
Very good. So that's what the Gemara is going to talk about. The Gemara is going to raise that question, right? So Nechoshes is the object and cash, and the silver is the cash. Even though the silver is more valuable than the Nechoshes, is what I'm trying to say. Even though the silver is more valuable than the Nechoshes, we're going to say in our Gemara, it's because it's all about liquidity. It's all about what's more commonly used in the stores, and that is going to be Kesef. V'akesef eino kones ha-Nechoshes, and it can't be the other way around. Next, Mos ha-Ros konos es ha-Yafos. So bad money, or money which isn't really usable, that is the item, and that can be kone through a sale with monos, with konos ha Hayafos with good money. The Hayafos ainon konos es haros, and the good money cannot be kona with the bad money. Meaning again, the bad money is the object, and the good money is the cash. Asimon kona es hamatbeah, hamatbeah ainon kona es asimon. So what's an asimon? Asimon is a coin without a tsura, right? It has nothing on the coin itself. Sure. So it's that's the thing that the in the payphone, right? The payphone, exactly. That's what it's for. Yeah, that's what everyone comes in. The payphone, right? The payphone.
So that was in Baruch's time.
At my time.
Yeah.
They also had something called for the washing machines. For the washing machines. Asimon.
Asimon, right? Okay, that does. I do know that. All right. So those asimons. So that is going to be the object, right? That is going to be the object. That is going to be the object, and the coin is going to be the cash. Metatulin kona es hamatbea, matbea eino kona es metatulin. This is just a more general way of saying our rule that metatulin can be kona through, or the matbea is what helps you be kona the metatulin, and the opposite is not going to be true. Next, kol metatulin kona zedze. But once you have two objects, so they can be kona each other. Ketzad, how does this work? Mashach emena peros velo nasan lo mos eino yachol achzer. But let's say someone did, so now both parties, here's the difference all. When both parties are coming to the transaction with the das to go and have this sale take place, when you're picking up the apple, they don't have this das yet. There's no two parties there yet, right? So when we're coming and I go and do a mashiach, no, there's no specific, you're not at the transaction point yet. So mashach emena peros, where I go and do mashiach on the peros, but I have not yet given the money, eino yachol achzer, bro, I cannot go and change at that point. Nasan lo mos velo mashachim en peros yachol achzer. But let's say I've only given the money, but I have not yet moved or done a kinyan on the peros, then I am able to go and do so. Now we're going to see there's a big machlokas whether mos konos mi de oraisa or not, whether money works as a kinyan mi de oraisa, but maybe mi de rabbanan it doesn't work, the rabbanan said. Why? Because what we're afraid of is, let's say I give Binyamin $10,000 for for his something in his house, right? And then all of a sudden, there's a little fire in his house, and he decides, hey, you know what? That all belongs to Ashi anyway. I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to go save everything else. So we don't want that to happen. So that's why Midar Rabbanon, we might say most are not going to be Kodosh. But that's a Gemara that's going to come, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches. That's where we're going to see that. But again, when the money is making the transaction, you are allowed to retract. Once you've done a Kinyan Meshicha, then you're not allowed to retract. Aval Amru, Misha Parah Me'anshei Dor HaMabu, Midor HaFlaga, Hu Asali Parah Mimisha Einu Omid B'dibur. But we have this concept called Misha Parah, that Hashem, who paid back the Dor HaMabu and the Dor HaFlaga. Why those two specifically? Probably because there was a lack of Emunah that led to all of the downfall. But anyway, the one who went and paid those back, Hashem, i.e. Hashem, that will be the one who pays back someone who doesn't listen or keep up their word. Rabbi Shimon says, Kol she'a kesef biyado, yado al ha'elyona. Only the seller can retract. Anyone who has the kesef, that person is able to retract. We're going to see exactly what that means. Good. So now let's go into our Gemara after that whole background of the Mishnah. So Masni la Rebbe, la Rebbe Shimon Berei. So Rebbe taught Rebbe Shimon his son, Hazav Kona Esa Kesef. Just like our Mishnah, that Zahav is going to be the object and Kesef is going to be the cash. Amrali Rebbe, Shanisa Lanu Yaldusecha, HaKesef Kona Esa Zahav. But Rabbi Shimon said back to his father, he said, but dad, well actually he didn't say but dad, he specifically said what? Rebbe. He said Rebbe. This is one of the main sources over there. Let's say your father is your Rebbe Muvhak, meaning that he's where you mostly learn things from. So then do you call him Rebbe? Do you call him dad? Which one? This is the source that brought from that. But this is the whole source for that over there. But so says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon said, but Rebbe, or dad, you taught me when we were younger, when you were younger, when everyone was younger, you taught me the opposite, that Kesef is the object and Zahav is the cash. So V'tachs Revetishna Elonu B'zek Nusecha, now you're changing your mind in your older age, Azav Kones HaKesef. So now you're saying that Zahav is going to be the object and Kesef is going to be the cash. So what did he think when he was younger? What changed when he was older? Bial do say, my savar of Ziknuse, my savar. What did he think when he was younger? What did he think was when he was older? Bial do say, savar, when he was younger, he thought, dava de chashiv have tiva. He thought that it was all based on chashivas. Whatever is more valuable is going to be the cash, is going to be the currency. So gold is more valuable, so that's going to be the currency. Kasma de lo chashiv have pera. And the Kesef, which is not the more chashiv one, is pera. Remember we said pera means the object, right? So one's going to be the object, one's going to be the cash. The kani le pera le tiva. And the way it would work is that the pera is kona through the tiva, but the object is going to be the more valuable one. Bizik nuse savar, and once he got older, he thought, kaspa de charif have tiva. So the kesef, which is more liquid, which is more commonly used, that's going to be the coin. Dava de lo charif have pera. And the gold, which is not as commonly used, it's not as liquid, that is going to be the object. And that's how the Kenyan is going to work. Says the Gemara, Amaravashi ki al duse mistabra. It sounds better to say the way he said it when he was young, meaning against our Mishnah, Ravashi says. Our Mishnah, again, said Hazav Kones HaKesef, meaning that we go based on commonly being used. We base it on liquidity, not based on value. But he says that it's more mistabra to say ki al duse, meaning tani hanechoshes Kones HaKesef. And this is what my dad was saying over there, because this is based on the fact that our Mishnah then went to the next case and said, HaNechoshes is Kone Es HaKesef. Even though Nechoshes is less valuable than Kesef, but the Kesef is more liquid. Because Iyamar Bishlama Kaspel Gabe Dava Pereyave, because if you're going to try to tell me, it makes sense to say that Kesef with gold, that Kesef is going to be the object, because Hainu Dikatani HaNechoshes Kone Es HaKesef. That's why we needed to say the next line of the Mishnah, because it's a Chiddush. Right, we would have thought, if we think that it's all based on value, that it makes sense that Kesef is going to be the object and gold is going to be the sub and it's going to be the cash. So the reason why we need to even mention the next line is because you would have thought that Kesef is more valuable, so it's going to be the object. I'm sorry, it's going to be the cash, and that Nechoshes is going to be the object. But that's why we have to have the line. Da'afal pidil gabe dava peire havyo gabe Nechoshes tiva have. Because it needs to come to teach us that even though when it comes to gold, it's going to be the object, when it comes to Nechoshes, it's going to be the coin. No, I skipped a line there, right? Yamar Bishlam Kaspo Agabe Dava Pereyave. So Hainu Dekat Tanya Nechoshes Kones HaKesef. Why? The Afal Pidu Agabe Dava Pereyave. Because even though the silver is going to be considered the object when it's compared to the gold, Agabe Nechoshes Tiva Have. Because when it's compared to Nechoshes, then it's going to be what? Then it's going to be, it's going to be the currency. It's going to be the cash. But if you're going to say that the kesef is really going to be the cash like our Mishnah, So if we're saying that really it's all based on value, then of course we know that this is going to be the case by the Nechoshes case. So what would be the Chiddush? It says Gemara, no. It's Rechsakadai Dechamina Hane Prite Be'asra Desage Inu Harife Tve Mikaspa Ema Tive Have. So no, I might think that it depends on the place. In a place where it's more commonly used to use copper or to use silver, then maybe things would change. Kamash Mon Kevan De'ika Duchta De'lo Sagi Be'pere Have. Since there are places where you can't use copper at all, where no one's going to accept copper, it's no longer good enough to be considered a currency, and that's why it would have to be just viewed as the object, and it can't be viewed as the currency. So that's just a technical point as to how to get to our Mishnah. But now we're going to spend the rest of the Amud figuring out other people who might disagree with our Mishnah. Again, our Mishnah says, Hazav Kona Esa Kesef, meaning that Kesef is the currency and Zahav is the object. Even though it's more valuable, Zahav is going to be the object and not the currency because it's based on liquidity and usage, not based on value. But not everyone agrees to this.
I'm having a problem understanding the words. Hakesef kone es hazahav.
Right. There's a lot of Rishonim on there. Yes, a lot of Rishonim on there. You're right. We're going to have to discuss that. So says the Gemara, V'af Rebbi Chiya Savar Dedava Tava Have. So also Rebbi Chiya holds that gold is going to be the currency, which again is against our Mishnah, right? So Rebbi Chiya also holds against our Mishnah. Why? Because Derav Ozif Dinare Mibarti De Rebbi Chiya. It's because Rav borrowed gold. A dinar is, when it says dinar, it's referring to gold. It's because Rav borrowed gold from the daughter of Rebbi Chiya, and Lesof Ayakor Dinare. And then gold, the value of gold went up. So now you have a shaila over here. It depends. It could just be a market value. It depends. So that's what we're saying. We're saying it really matters what it is. If it's a currency, then we say, I gave you $10, you give me $10 back a week later. That's okay. But if it's a commodity, if it's an asset and it went up, then if by paying it back, there's an issue of ribis. This is what's called sa'ab bisa'ab. This is going to be potentially an issue. So what happened over here? So Rav borrowed a gold dinar from the daughter of Rebbi Chiya, and then it went up in value. Also, Kamei de Rebbi Chiya went in front of Rebbi Chiya. I'm really zil shlim la tavin v'tekilin. Go back and pay back the exact coins that you're allowed to go pay back, which clearly means that gold is a currency. It's a cash. Otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed to pay it back like that. Meaning, if I give you $10, you pay me back $10. That's okay, even if it was a week later. And now the value of the dollar has gone up, but it's the same money that you're giving me, right? But if this was a commodity, then you wouldn't be allowed to do this. So, Yamar Bishlam Dava Tiva Have Shapir. If you're going to tell me that gold is a currency, then this makes sense. There's no ribis over here because you're just paying back in currency. Ela Yamar Peira Have. But if you're going to say that it's just an object, that it's a commodity, Havalei sa'a b'sa'a v'asr. This is going to be what's called sa'a b'sa'a, and that's going to be asr. If I give you a sa'a flour today, and then next week you give it back to me, and it's worth twice as much, that's a problem of ribis.
Why is that a problem of ribis?
Oh, we're going to have to get into the ribis discussion. That's going to be coming up in our Masechta. That's a problem of ribis, because you're giving me back double the value. I gave you something.
I'm giving you back a pound of flour.
Oh, but now it's worth something totally different. A pound of flour last week's not the same thing as a pound of flour today. So you have to figure out the value. What did I actually give you? What did I actually lend you? Right? So this is going to be a major topic in the Gemara about sub is sub. This is ribis mi derabanan. It's not ribis mi deoraisa, but it's ribis mi derabanan. There's a lot of ribis mi derabanan things, and you got to be very careful. So this is one of those things. So if it's currency, then it's okay. But if it's a commodity, then it's going to be a problem. Says the Gemara, Rav dinare havaluhu havale, v'kevan da havale dinare nase ka'omer la halveini ad yavo bini o ad emta mi pesach. So this is now a chiddush and an exception to this rule of sabisa. No, it could even be a pere, it can even be an object, and still it's not going to be a ribis issue because Rav had it in his basement, he just couldn't get it right now. So he's saying, give me this gold right now, and I'm going to pay it back to you right when I just get it, when my daughter comes home, or when someone comes home and is able to give it to me, then I'm going to go and give it to you. So when you have the object already in your possession to pay back, that's not going to be a ribis issue, because you're ready to pay it back right now. It's just for whatever technical reason, you need it at this second and not for the second coming up. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Haitana Savar Dadava Tavahavi. There's another Tana that holds against our Mishnah. Again, our Mishnah holds Azav Kones HaKesef, that Zahav is the object, our Mishnah says, right? Zav is the object and Kesef is the cash. There's another Tana who holds against our Mishnah. Ditanya, because it says in a Braisa, Prutashamru Echad Mishmona Bishar Italki. This should seem familiar from the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, what's this Pruta that we say? Because remember, why do we have to have this in Kiddushin? Because we said Shava Pruta, right? So what's a Pruta? It's 1/8 of this Isar Ha'italki. Who cares? Look, Kedusha Isha. That's about trying to figure out what you could use for Kedusha. Isar, what's an Isar? Echad me esrim me arba di bedinar shel kesef. This is 1/24th of a gold coin. L'mayin afkamino, who cares? See, I can't make that mistake here. Bedinar shel kesef, of a silver coin. L'mayin afkamino, who cares? L'mekka chomem kardan, know what you're going to do your transactions with. Dinar shel kesef, and when you have a silver coin, echad me esrim v'chamisha bedinar shel zahav. It's 1/25th of the value of a gold coin. L'mayin afkamino, who cares over here? L'pidyon haben, because it matters when it comes to pidyon haben, where you need five slime. So, i'amar bishlama tivahave mishar tana b'midi dekayetz. So we're saying, the key line for us, again, we're saying that a silver coin is 1/25th of a gold coin. So if you're going to tell me that gold is a currency, it's a cash, so I understand that it joins this equation over here. It's because it's 1/25th, there's a set amount, we're measuring it based on something which is a set currency. But if we're saying that this is just an object, it's a commodity, what the Tana is going to say, that a silver coin is 1/25th of something which constantly fluctuates in value, that it's of a commodity, that doesn't make any sense. There are going to be some times where you give the Kohen a lot more money, and sometimes where you give the Kohen a lot less money, if that's the case. So this can't be the case. So it must be Elish Mamina, Tivahave Shmamina. It must be that gold is the currency, and gold is not going to be the object. Now, we are going to have a Mishnah. Right, we are going to have a Mishnah, which we are going to spend a lot of time going on to the next Amud. We're not going to do that right now. But we're going to have a Mishnah now that we're going to spend three different versions trying to figure out what it's saying and how it's relevant to us. So we'll just start in the Mishnah, and then the versions we will leave for Shabbos. Tanan Hasam. There's a Mishnah over there. Beisham Ayomrim lo yase adam slaim dinare zahav. Ubeisel omrim matirin. When talking about Meister Sheni. So they would go and, remember, you had a lot of food that you had to have in Yerushalayim. So what would they do to make it easier? They would be poded onto coins. Let's say you were poded onto silver coins. Can you now be poded that onto gold coins? Why would someone want to do that onto gold coins? Because you're carrying less. Gold coins are more valuable, so you need less coins to do that. Are you allowed to go and put silver coins onto gold coins? Now, the rule is you're only allowed to put coins onto coins, but not coins onto payros or objects. So the question is going to become, now we can understand what that's going to have to do with us. Are you allowed to put silver onto gold? Maybe gold, when compared to silver, is considered an object, but when compared to actual fruit, it's considered a currency. It's considered a cash. So that's what this Mishnah is going to discuss. So let's just review what we did today. So we ended our Mishnah. We ended our Perek of Amafkir by Shlichas Yad. We spoke about, do you actually have to do it? Is it just enough to just think it? This type of stuff. What type of Kenyan? So we ended Perek of Amafkir. Then we then got into Azov Koneh Sakesef. So we got into trying to figure out, when there's a transaction, we normally have an object in cash. But when we have two things which could potentially be cash, which one is cash? So we say, our Mishnah says, Hazav Koneh Sakesef, that the Zahav is going to be the object and the Kesef is going to be the cash. Not everyone agrees to that. Even Rebbe changed his mind throughout his life. Why did he change his mind? Because initially he thought it was all based on value, but then he said, no, it's all based on what's more commonly used, what's more liquid in a store, what's going to be something which is more valuable to have in the store. That was the worst way to phrase that. What's something which is more commonly used in the store? We then proved from a lot of different people that it must be that gold is a currency of some sort. And now we're going to go in to try to prove whether maybe it's an objective currency or if it's only a currency compared to other types of situations. So a little more detail-oriented. We're going to get to a lot more stuff. I kind of wish this was on a Monday, so that way we had the rest of the week to go through this. But Mirtashem, we'll push through, and we'll be back on Monday.